Good morning. It's 20 years since the Shankill bombing.
The Shankill Road was busy with lunchtime shoppers when the attack happened. Two men dressed in white coats walked into Frizzell's fish shop at 1:15 and placed the bomb on the floor. The bomb then exploded without warning.
I seen a woman then and her head bashed in, her arm off. I seen a man then, I seen a child's pram blow up. I was just that confused. Everything
perhaps
happened.
Was terrible.
I've never seen anything in my life like it.
20 years ago today, two IRA men carried a bomb into a busy shop and massacred men, women and children inside.
We were at our lunch whenever the bomb went off. There was no warning or anything. Just the bang went off and everybody ran and the thing came down around them. The people are all, I'm sure they're all killed that was in it.
It was an appalling attack in a period of appalling violence in Northern Ireland. 24 people lost their lives in the course of a week, yet paramilitary ceasefires were just around the corner.
A stream of ambulances took the injured to the Royal Mater and City hospitals. Dozens of people were trapped in the wreckage and local people worked with emergency crews to bring the injured.
I've set them a home just 3-4 doors up there and the bomb went off. When we come down we find women and children and a couple of chaps lying here. Very bad, and now we've found that there's people underneath this rubble, people in the fish shop and the thing.
Today's about remembrance on the Shankill. It's also about grief, pain and anger. Charlie Butler is with us this morning. Morning to you, Charlie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. You lost three relatives in the bombing. Your niece, her partner, Michael, your niece Evelyn, and their 7-year-old daughter, Michelle.
Yes, Stephen, I did. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening to you, Charlie.
Hi. Yes, Stephen, today's the 20th anniversary, 20 years, and to be honest, us as a family, it's more like 20 minutes for us, especially the very close-knit family that we are. Myself being there on the day, you know, I can still see, smell, hear everything, every minute, every second of what happened that day.
Where were you when the bomb went off, Charlie?
Stephen, it was a beautiful day. It was sunny. It was crisp. It was cool. I was shopping out with my wife. I was in my car. I was a taxi driver. We're coming down Berlin Street, and all of a sudden, I just heard over the radio, bomb went off in Frizzell's. Maybe 100 yards away. Just pulled down the street and looked up. The Shankill, seen total carnage, total devastation. It was more like a movie set. Unfortunately, it turned out to be more like a horror movie set. I just parked the car and told my wife to sit there. I ran over to a couple of guys that were giving a woman with very, very bad head injuries. They were trying to give her first aid or help her as best they could. I looked over to where Frizzell's was and there was just a hole. It was nothing. The roof was there and it looked like it was going to cave in and through the smoke there was people shouting and for help and it just ran over. Just ran over and got into the middle of the rubble and started digging. But to be honest, even then, I wasn't expecting what happened after. I thought maybe, I don't know, maybe it was like a movie, maybe, you know, all you're doing is digging and pulling people out and getting up and brushing themselves off and walking away. Until we came across the body of a young girl. Young Leanne Murray. And the paramedic just looked at me and shook his head. Called for a stretcher and put her on a stretcher, put a sheet over the child and carried her towards ambulances that were parked just down the Shankill Road near Berlin Street. And it's just then whenever I was walking past some ambulances and looked in, and I'd seen other stretchers with bodies on them. Blood seeping through the sheets, and it was just horrific. But it wasn't a case of stopping. Probably wasn't a case of it. I didn't know what to do, so I just went straight back again. And every now and again, people just would have called for silence, and it was so eerie because there was so many people and the noise, people digging and shouting. And if someone thought they heard something, it was just quiet. And it really went quiet. You know, it was just eerie. And it's just, I don't know how long we were digging for. You know, it's just that after we had been digging and digging and digging, someone again shouted quiet. And then shouted here. And in the middle of rubble, they had uncovered something or someone. And I remember just looking over and seeing, you know, like a pink coat or Cherie's coat. Never thought nothing. Moved out of the way and let the people that was digging there dig, because we didn't want to be walking in anybody or hurting anybody. And it wasn't until much later, Stephen, I went home. And my sister lives next door, my sister Evelyn. And I went home and had a bath. And my brother-in-law, Bobby, came in and says that they had seen it on the television. And I was there, and did I see Michael or Evelyn or Michelle? Just, no, Bobby, no way. You know, the scenes were horrific, but I sort of said, Bobby, no, they weren't there. Definitely weren't there. Michael's father had died two days earlier.
And where had they been? Had they actually been inside the shop?
They went in and bought a wreath in Stevenson's flower shop next door. And Michelle always loved going in to Mr. Frizzell's. Apparently they had just went into Frizzell's when the bomber Bagley came in and pushed past them and went to the Bagley shop. And unfortunately, the rest is in her history.
You call him Bomber Begley. Some people over recent days have been telling me he was a soldier of Ireland.
No, Stephen, soldier or nothing. He's a soldier or nothing. Unfortunately, look, we maybe not sympathise with the families, but no apathy towards them, but no hatred towards the families of the bombers. That had nothing to do with the families. Unfortunately, when we seen the commemoration of Thomas Begley and Mr. Begley, his father, on the stage with Sean Kelly, the other bomber, and Daddy Copeland and hugging Sean Begley, Stephen, it was like 20 years ago. It was a step too far. It really knocked us back 20 years seeing that, because we thought, you know, Mr. Bagley had made a statement, you know, he knew what his son was up to that day, would have tied him to the bed, you know, and shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened. But what happened in Sunday shouldn't have happened. Mr. Bagley shouldn't have been at that commemoration. He should do what we do. We're remembering our people with dignity.
Well, he's entitled to remember his son, and he didn't know what his son was doing at the time, and he's entitled to remember his son now. I guess the question is, it's how he does it. And is a plaque the best way to remember someone who has killed so many people?
We remember our loved ones going out and being happy and joyful and full of life. And the unfortunate thing is, the Bagley family now have to remember their son as a killer of pensioners and women. And children, because that's what he done. He killed children and women and pensioners. And that's probably not a nice thing to live with, but I don't think he showed it on Sunday.
you know, there is a danger in Northern Ireland, and I apply this to all communities and all paramilitary groups. There is, and let's remember that just some days after this, there was the massacre at Greysteel, in which loyalist gunmen walked in and shot all round them indiscriminately, trying to kill as many people as they could. And let's remember that all sides have carried out grotesque atrocities. But this is the 20th anniversary of the Shankill bombing, which is why we're talking about it today, and it is right that we do so. And there's a danger, Charlie, that real human tragedy becomes a news story and becomes news headlines, and that the next generation becomes indifferent and sanitized to what actually happened. And it's for that reason that I'm asking you the next question. When you were in that rubble, tell us what you smelt, tell us what you saw, tell us what the bombers actually did.
Well, Stephen, what I saw was clouds of white dust everywhere. What I smelt was burning flesh. What I felt, Stephen, I don't know. What I felt, I don't know.
You smelt burning flesh.
Smelt burning flesh. As I say, it was more probably like a movie set than anything. But to us, you know, as I said, it turned out to be a horror movie. The smell, the devastation. You know, what I felt after finding Leanne Marie was, I think, just numbness. Unbelievableness. Just couldn't grasp reality of why this had happened to her, you know. Who would have done it? You know, them thoughts weren't in my head. But what I do have to say, Stephen, is myself and my brother-in-law, Bobby Bird, and family, and people from the Shankill community, we travelled to Greysteel the week after it. And we let the people of Greysteel know, listen, this was not done in our name. As we know, the Shankill was not done in your name. And we stated to the people that, you know, if our families were the last to die, if that was a price to pay to stop this madness. It was a price too much, but it's a price that would have been paid. And if it had been the last, you know, maybe things might have been a bit easier. But I tell you what, Stephen, we felt every bit of pain in Greysteel with them people. And I can tell you, they give us a back again. They felt our pain. Sat with them. I met John Hume up there. Great man. And we sort of looked at each other and we just didn't know what to say. We broke the silence and we told them we were sorry it wasn't done for us. We didn't want it. We've went through it and know what you're going through. And as I say, they told us the same, Stephen. And if it had been the last, well, maybe it would have stopped it, but thought maybe with the total devastation, it might have been the end of the madness. Unfortunately not.
I want to let you hear what one of the bombers, Sean Kelly, said just a few days ago when he was at the commemoration of his fellow bomber, Begley. This is Thomas Begley in Ardoyne, where a plaque was unveiled in commemoration and support of Thomas Begley. This is some of what Sean Kelly said.
It was an IRA operation that went tragically wrong. Wrong in the sense that the women who were Lad. The target tragically lost their lives and many were injured. That was not our intention. That was not the intention of the IRA. I offer no excuse that will change for any of these innocent people and families will think about myself, Thomas, or the IRA. As a result of this operation, I am truly sorry for the loss of life, for the loss of life and the injuries that were suffered that day, and for the suffering the families have endured.
Do you believe him, Charlie? Truly sorry?
I don't believe a word of it, Stephen. I don't believe a word of it. Not only, to be honest, is it 20 years too late, but a buffoon, an idiot, would know that if they were going onto any shopping road in any country in the world on a Saturday afternoon at peak time and we're going to plant the bomb, to say that their intention wasn't to do that. I mean, does he think the people of Northern Ireland are stupid? Does he think even the people of Ardoyne are stupid and they're going to believe that? Stephen, I was reading in the press the so-called Mr. Kelly, who's so sorry, went to Scotland as a hero and gave a speech as a hero. I don't think that I can inspire to anybody who done what he done and killed women and kids and pensioners. That's not an aberration. That's a slaughter. If he thinks that getting up there in front of the cameras and saying after all this time that he's sorry to us, no, I'm sorry. We can take it, and we can take it from genuine people. As I said earlier, when Thomas Bagley's father made this statement about his son, it was genuine. I thought it was genuine, and it helped us a bit. The unfortunate thing is the action spoke louder in words when push came to shove.
Well, look, Sinn Féin have refused to come onto the programme this morning.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And they refused to come onto the programme on Monday as well.
Yeah. Well, considering that a programme that I watched, that Gerry Kelly is on the television telling us that he wasn't a terrorist. If I'm not mistaken, he was in jail for bombing. You know, so is he telling us then that Thomas Bagley wasn't a terrorist?
Well, I'm sure that Gerry Kelly would say that they were involved in a war and they were soldiers. It's probably not the day today to get into that. Let's just hear what Gerry Kelly said, because he was present also at the unveiling of this plaque the other day.
If you listen to Sean Kelly, who spoke, he apologised again. He has done it in the past. He said he was sorry. I think we need to find a way to bring out the truth right across the board and use the memories, use the commemorations in some way, find some way to move the whole process forward. But if you're asking me, do we stop remembering people who died during this conflict, I would have to say no.
You see, I have a question that I genuinely want to try to understand. And it is that if the IRA, if Sean Kelly says that this was a mistake, a tragedy, and you know the inference, they've gone beyond inference. They've essentially said they were trying to kill UDA men who were upstairs in the shop at the time, and that it was not their intention to target innocent people. But you see, what I'm trying to understand, Charlie, is that if they were intent, and by the way, all murder is wrong. But if they were intent on trying to kill those people upstairs, then they knew that they couldn't give a warning. Because if they were giving a warning within the same building, then the people who they were trying to target would have been able to escape as equally as the men, the women and the children downstairs. So how does their position stack up? You know, if they are trying to tell us that they didn't just see 13-year-olds and 7-year-old little girls as, well, they might die, but that's all right. If they're trying to tell us that they genuinely didn't know that was going to happen, then how on earth did they think they were going to be able to plant a bomb that was just going to target people upstairs when they knew that those people were downstairs? Like, can you work it out, Charlie?
Look, Stephen, let's be honest and clear about this. As anyone can tell you, it was an autumn, it was sunny, it was bright, it wasn't cold, it was crisp. If they had been coming down, which they did come down the Shangle with the bomb, they drove past hundreds of people, not 10 people, not 20, they drove past hundreds of people. When they stopped at Frizzell's, they'd seen that it was a small shop. They'd seen that the small shop was packed.
And they walked in anyway.
And they were going, listen, we have met people who the push passed. And the people thought it was a delivery, which obviously that's what it was meant for. But for the turnaround and say it was an accident, Stephen, I had to push past people. They seen Evelyn and Michael and myself. They seen everyone was in that shop. They seen Leanne. They seen Mr. Frizzell, a pensioner behind the counter.
And they blew them up anyway.
They walked in the very back of the shop. Stephen, again, I'll say it. Do they think we're all idiots? The apology on what they're trying to do after 20 years, I don't think is doing them any favours.
What's the abiding memory in your mind?
The unfortunate thing is, Stephen, the memory that sticks, I think, with us all is a sad one, because Evelyn and Michael and Michelle were actually going out to buy a wreath for Michael's father. And little did we know that we would be following suit days after to buy the wreaths. And I think that will stay with us forever.
Charlie, thank you for coming on the radio this morning. Thank you. Good morning to you.